Hey, everybody. Welcome to season two of the Defy podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Troutman. And this season, we're doing something a little different. We're still going to be telling incredible stories of amazing women and non-binary individuals, obviously, but we are going to be focusing this season more on entrepreneurs, people who are in leadership positions in business, and having a better understanding of how people have approached solving problems with passion, the process that they've used to be able to create something amazing, and the profitability that they've been able to achieve as a result. So many of the questions that we get in this podcast are about career, so we thought, why not double down on this and use all of season two to talk about career and entrepreneurship? So we're glad you're here. We hope you learn something from this episode. We hope you enjoy and laugh in this episode. So come on, guys, let's get started and let's defy. Hey, you guys, if you can believe it, we have a real sponsor for season two of the Defy podcast. I know, I'm totally excited about it. And our sponsor is Arizona Autism United, also known as AZA United. And AZA United provides comprehensive services for people with autism and their families throughout the greater Phoenix area. And AZA United was founded by one of my really close friends, Dr. Aaron Blocker Rubin, also known as ABR. And he's pretty awesome. One of the things I really enjoy about their organization is that they understand how important it is to have clear values. And they have four of them. And I'm going to talk to you about one of them right now. And that value is this: grow with purpose. You need to grow with purpose in terms of how you grow your organization. You need to grow with purpose in terms of how you nurture your staff. And you need to grow with purpose with how you treat your families. And AZA United grows with purpose. And if you're someone that wants to grow with purpose, we welcome you to check them out. I have linked their website to the show notes. They have jobs available for people in all different job categories, from behavior analysts to RBTs to administrative support. And they're pretty awesome. And not just because they sponsor this podcast. So go check out AZA United and let's get on with the show. Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Sarah Troutman. I'm the host of the Defy Community Podcast. And my very special guest today is the woman that I count on to basically kick my ass on the regular. And that is my girl, Alex Hooper. What up?
What's up? How are you, Sarah?
What's up? Okay, so why does Alex kick my ass every day? Alex kicks my ass every day because she is the owner of the F45 gym that I go to in Uptown Oakland. But before we, you know, like get into like how Alex is like a great trainer or whatever, I think Alex, we need to spend a couple minutes remembering our journey into the gym over the last 8 months. So let's set the stage. Let's set the stage. California, especially the Bay Area, has been a real dumpster fire for the last year.
Yeah, to say the least.
And so Alex, and we'll talk about the whole story about like how she got involved in this franchise. Alex and her dad are like, we're so excited. There's so much great, you know, new retail, commercial, and residential space being built in Oakland. Like, we want to like put a stake in the ground and have a business. Like, we are going to come in. You know, this is a really interesting franchise. It's getting a lot of traction. You're like, let's do this. And then COVID was just like, not so fast, baby.
Okay, hold on, girl.
Yeah. Pause. Excuse me. So literally the first time that I ever met Alex was in the parking lot of Goji Time, which is a delightful like Pan-Asian cuisine restaurant, also available in the Uptown Kono section of Oakland, where we were sidestepping broken glass. We had a couple real close homeless friends that would like to come say hi to us during – this is pitch dark, by the way. It's 6 a.m. It's totally dark. But Alex came every day. You had this speaker on like a little like carrying case.
Uh-huh, my portable. With the lights. It had lights. I don't know if
with
you recall
the
that.
Lights mm-hmm. and equipment and exercise. And I remember walking to that first class and I was like, dear baby Jesus. Like, I am like so starved for like great programming. This is new to me. Like, I've done F45 before in other places. Like, please don't let this be horrible because I can't take it. And you were just like, what's up? And you started class and it was like hype AF. And that's when I decided in this like, you know, horrible parking lot with broken glass in November of 2020 that like, I will love you forever.
Hey, I appreciate it. I had to put on a show outside. That was something. Every time people came, I was just like, I was actually just hoping people would come, honestly.
Yeah.
When we were in that parking lot, I was like, well, this is what we have to do. So we're going to make it work. Yeah. Every morning in the dark, we would set it up.
Yeah.
I don't know if you were there a couple classes, I'd turn my car lights on because
because it was so dark and there was no lighting. I mean, but because it's like everything in California shut down, none of the gyms are open. Like, you know, people are like, oh my gosh. But like, this is what you did. It's like you carved out like this light. And then you just kept doing it. And like the cool thing that happened is like people kept showing up.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And like that was like the beginning. And so we'll kind of get into more of later, like in terms of like some other real fun stuff that's happened in terms of you opening the gym. But I want to, you know, with all of these podcasts, I mean, what we're doing in season two is talking more about like business ownership, leadership, entrepreneurship, careers. And, you know this, all of us are products of like where we come from.
For sure.
And the most important people in our lives, right?
Sure.
And so I would like to dedicate this kind of first couple minutes of this podcast with you and me to talk about one of the most important people in your life, and that's your mama. That's your mama.
Yeah.
So Alex's mom just turned 60.
Mm-mm, Alex's 65.
Or 65, right, 65.
65. She's a senior citizen for real.
She looks like she's 39. She moves like she's 25. Her energy, like clearly you can tell the genetic connection between y'all because like as soon as your mom walks, I mean like she comes out of the car dancing, you know, and she's like, hey, what's up? What's going on? You know, let's do this, guys. Like she's so much energy. But can you just kind of – what's more important about your mom? And when you told me this on Wednesday, I kind of thought about it for a little bit later that day. And then like it honestly like brought me to tears what your mom has done for you and your sister.
Yeah.
And so I want to like really hold it down and talk about like where did you grow up? And how has your mother totally and utterly shaped the kind of education and set you up for success in life? Because what she did for you and your sister is like incredible.
Yeah. My mom is, I mean, till this day, even when I went away to school, obviously I went to Ohio for 4 years and then I went to DC for two. But till this day, like my friends will come visit my mom. My friends come to my house. They'll call me like, hey, guess where I am? I'm like, where? I'm like, near your house with your mom. Like, my mom is everyone's mom, and I think even at the gym, she's everybody's mom, right? Mm-hmm. I always say that our house is like the foster home because, like, at one point, all of my friends have lived here. So she's always been, like, super present and, like, vocal and, like, a pivotal person, like, in my life growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my dad has always been around, but I've always lived with my mom and my sister, so it's always been the two of us. And we were never, like, you know, poor or, like, you know, on welfare or anything like that, but, like, we also weren't rich, right? So she always did her best. And like my mom didn't go to college. She got a bunch of certificates, which have really paved the way for her and let her kind of develop and grow in her career. But she never went to college. Her mom also only went to fourth grade. And I have nine uncles and aunts. So there's 10 of them. And my mom was the middle child. So she's always been like, my mom's always been the badass one. Like, she'll tell stories about when she got into fights and she always had to come break up the fights. Like she's done it all. She drove the buses in Oakland for 20 years. So she knows everyone here. She was a social worker for a lot of her life. So she's always been like a really, really strong person in me and my sister's lives. When I was younger, I went to all private schools up until sophomore year of high school. And, you know, she couldn't afford it. So she did everything she could do and everything she had to do so that I could go. So I remember in kindergarten, we would go to school at like 5:36 in the morning because she worked the pre like school shift. So she would watch the kids when their parents would drop them off. So I'm in there, you know, early in the morning, and then she would clean the school. So she would clean toilets. She'd clean the, she'd do landscaping, like literally anything they asked her to do, she would do. And then after school, she worked the after school program. Not to mention that, again, I have an older sister and my mom had a job. So it's not like she was just hanging around school all day and wasn't doing anything 9 to 5, right? Mm-hmm. So, and she's done that. She did that elementary school. She did that middle school. When I went to high school, I started at Bishop O'Dowd, which is mm-hmm. a private Catholic school. And I went specifically because I wanted to continue to play basketball. And my coach growing up was the coach there. So I went there my first couple years. She did the same thing. She, I got scholarship to go. Luckily, my grades weren't horrible. So I did get scholarship to go. But it still wasn't enough. So she did everything that she could to make sure that I could stay in that school for as long as I wanted. I ended up leaving. But she did that for me and my sister. My sister also went to Drew College Prep in San Francisco. And I think for both of us, like, I think not until high school we realized, like, oh, we don't have money. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we've always, you know, like, if I want something, I started working when I was 15. So I've always gotten things that I've wanted and needed. But, like, I was like, oh, these people have real money. Like, I would go to people's schools and they have elevators in their houses and, like, three maids at their houses, you know? But we never felt like we were wanted for anything, you know? And I think my mom did a really great job of making sure, like, at the end of the day, everything that we needed, we had. And, you know, everything that she didn't get growing up, which is a lot when you have 9 brothers and sisters and a mom. My granny can't read. Like, she can only read to a 4th grade level, I think. You know, so she just made sure that all those things that she didn't have, we at least got the opportunity to have. And so, yeah, and I mean, even I remember in high school, there were times I didn't talk to my dad. I didn't talk to my dad for a couple of years. My mom was like, it's okay. Like, she always believed in me, even when, like, you know, my dad would say I wasn't focused enough or I wasn't going to get into schools or whatever. My mom was like, okay. And she wrote for me, like, I would get into trouble. And my mom always had my back. Like, so she's always had my back. And even coming back home, because I've been gone for 10 years, she was like, you can move back in. I can help you with the gym. She cleans the gym now. She checks people in for me now. So the same thing she's been doing since I was like 3 and 4 and 5, she's still doing it. I'm 29 years old. So she always says I don't owe her anything, which, like, I know physically, like, I don't, but I always feel like I do, you know what I mean? Cause I wouldn't be who I am without my mom. I mean, down to my personality, I wouldn't be who I am without my mom. So, like, yeah, that's everybody's favorite person. I always say they come for me, but they stay for my mom. Yeah. And she shows up.
Oh my gosh, please. I mean, it's just like the energy is just like insane. Yeah. So let me just like summarize this by saying your mom worked full time. She took on additional jobs at the best private schools that you and your sister wanted to go to and worked double shifts basically to make sure that you guys had a great education. And I can't say that there's a lot of parents that would necessarily be able to do that. And that is, I mean, like an incredible exercise of love. And then to look within 2 generations, I mean, something I was thinking about is like, so your grandma, you know, has, you know, barely literate 4th grade education and you have an MBA from Georgetown.
Yeah.
And that's 2 generations, Alex, 2.
Yeah.
And that's because of your mother.
Yeah.
You know, and that is like incredible.
And she's super proud. She, like, sometimes when I would come home, I would meet people, like, I don't know anybody that she knows, and they're like, oh, you're Alex and you've done this and you've done that and you've so, like, and that makes me proud to make my mom proud, because at the end of the day, it's like, you know, I do care. I want to be successful, obviously. I shouldn't say I don't care, but, like, I'm like, yeah, my mom, you know what I mean? I feel like I did something right, and I feel like everything that she did for me is not, like, in vain. Like, I actually did something with myself.
You're like, shit, I better, like, handle something or else, like, she's gonna be mad.
She's gonna be pissed.
She's gonna be like, baby, I wasn't cleaning those toilets. I know. She's like, I didn't do that landscaping for you to, like, just sit around.
You wasted time. She always told me, because, like, in high school, I'm one of those people where I'm, like, decent at a lot of things. So I didn't have to try, like, very hard. Yeah. And so then when I decided to go to grad school, everybody was like, what? Alex is going to grad school. My mom goes, she was just pacing herself. That's why I said yes.
She really was.
Yeah. Yes.
She's just, you know, she didn't want to peak early. She just wanted to save some energy. Yeah. And just, like, she's running the long game here. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Very that.
So So then like an interesting output of this, because your mom was like working early and late at the schools that you attended, is you were like, okay, I kind of have a choice. Like I'm going to have to hang out here because my mom's working. I don't want to just like be in school doing nothing. So then you turn to sports.
Yes.
And that's how you got into basketball, because you're like, either I can like kick it at school or I can be in sports and like not be bored out of my mind while I'm waiting for my mom to do the work that she's doing that pays for my tuition.
100%. I think I played every sport, because when one went in, I was like, okay, what's the next sport? What can I, what can I play next? Just so I could, you know, stay busy. I didn't want to be at school all day, but I obviously understood. And I think I understood from a young age that like, okay, my mom is doing something, like I have to, you know. So I started playing basketball when I was five. And I our school was like a private school, so they didn't have like a real team. So I started playing, I played at YMCA, I played at the Boys and Girls Club. Until I went to like AAU, but I always played with the boys. So like from five to like nine, I played with the boys. And I always played like a grade higher than me. And I remember I used to get in like fights with the boys because I would win. And, and like all the time, and I came home dirty every day because I just loved to play. I loved to play everything. I played basketball, football. I played soccer. Anything you could put me in, I loved it. And I think for me, I also had really bad asthma when I was little. To the point where I had like a humidifier. I had to breathe into like one of those tubes every day. And so I think my mom also was trying to make sure I stayed active too. She's like, yeah, go play that and go do this. I even swam. I did pretty much every sport that you could think of at some point in my life.
But so of course it made sense. Yeah, but it made sense for you to like double down on basketball, because like your last name's Hooper and everyone calls you Hoop. Because that's an easy contraction for your last name. So like you kind of like had to do the basketball. Like it just, it fit. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I don't think some people know my first name. Like I
get, they just call you Hoop. Hoopy.
Hooper. Yep. And my whole family, my dad's side, we're all Hoopers. So every time we get around, nobody goes by their first name. We're all like, huh? Who? What?
Yeah.
Huh?
We're all like, am I Hoop number one? Is it Hoop number two? Is it Old Hoop? Right. Is it Grumpy Hoop? You know,
and my grandma on my dad's side, actually, she almost went to like, I couldn't tell you what it's called, like the first women's league in basketball, which I didn't know until I was older, but she almost played in it. So like our whole family has always played.
Well, and you know, let's be honest, like basketball is the best sport. I obviously incredibly biased. You and I are both like huge Golden State Warriors fans.
Yeah.
I'm still mad that they moved from Oakland to Chase Center. I don't want to like, I don't appreciate it.
I'm going to go. I refuse. I'm not going.
No one can afford to go. And that was my thing. Too, I was like, I was like, so at least Oakland, like people could kind of afford some of the nosebleed seats, even though like obviously since the Warriors have been so successful, those tickets were expensive. But at Chase Center, you're just pricing everybody out.
Yeah.
And I was like, do I really want to sit at a game with a bunch of tech bros? I'm good. But I digress. I'm digressing. Okay. So you're really good at basketball. You know, you transferred from Bishop O'Dowd, which is a private high school in Oakland, to Skyline, which is a public high school. And you were good enough to be able to play basketball at the collegiate level. And so how did you decide kind of where you wanted to go to college? Like how many – because we didn't talk about this before. Like how many choices did you have? Like what made you pick like Ohio Wesleyan?
So I actually, when I was a freshman, sophomore, I was like very, you know, basketball was like my life. And like, I would go to the gym at 4 a.m. with my basketball coach before school. And we would actually hustle people on the court. Like I would hustle guys because they didn't know I could play. And like, she can't do this, she can't do that. I'm like, okay. My coach was like, if you lose, I'll pay them. But if you win, you keep the money. I'm like, okay, I never lost because I like money. So I was like, that was like my life probably freshman, sophomore year. And then my dad made me quit basketball when I was a sophomore because he said I wasn't focused, like my grades weren't where they needed to be, whatever. And so I stopped playing. And it wasn't actually my intention anymore. Once I transferred, I was like, I don't even want to play anymore. Like I kind of, you know, I was pissed. And I think I lost the love for it that I had growing up. And then when I transferred, I didn't have any friends. I didn't know anybody because when you're a junior, everybody makes their friends.
They freshmen. Have, they have their cliques already. Yeah, they're baked
in. I'm like, who is this girl? We don't know her. And I came from Bishop O'Dowd, and that has a, you know, that has a reputation in itself to go from there to like public school. And it's like, oh, who's this girl? I'm like, oh man. So I was like, okay, I'm just gonna play just so I can like meet people and whatever. And then I fell back in love with it again. So it was like kind of a last minute decision for me to start to even attempt to play. And then when I was a junior, again, my mom put me in a program in, I couldn't tell you what it's called anymore because I'm old now. But she put me in this program, and basically it helps public school kids find like liberal arts colleges because, you know, a lot of people don't have access to those kind of schools or have even ever heard of those schools before.
And also they're really expensive. Like I went to like a liberal arts university and I was like, why did my undergrad cost 10x what my public graduate degree cost?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, but she's always tried to kind of put me and my sister in schools like that or like opportunities to go to schools like that. Mm-hmm. I was in this program and we would go to different like college fairs and all these different liberal arts school fairs. I went to visit quite a few of them because, you know, I applied to the regular like Berkeley and Stanford and stuff like that just mm-hmm. because I know they're close. I know they're good schools and like whatever. I ended up going to visit Ohio Wesleyan and I went to visit with like 7 people that I already knew. We were all in the mm-hmm. program together. And I remember I went and my coach she wasn't my coach at the time, but ended up being my coach. She showed me every last thing you could see at the campus. She's like, oh, you have to see this and you have to see that. And then she introduced me to all the team members. So I met them and I hung out with them. And I think I fell in love with the team and the people, not so much Ohio itself.
That's fair. We live in California. Like, I get that. Yeah.
It was also negative 20 degrees when I went to visit. So that mm-hmm. should have been no from a Cali girl. But yeah. So I went to visit. I went to visit twice, actually. Oh, no, I can't hear you.
Oh, no, I can see you.
Oh, I think your voice is moving before. So I went to visit and I had gotten scholarship to a few other schools. And I remember I would go to visit and some of them I cried at. I hated it so much. I was like, you know, I was the only black person. And they would ask mm-hmm. me all these like, what is it like to be a black person? Or
you're like, I don't represent millions of people. Like I'm just
I don't
Alex.
Know them all. Yeah. 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 They would come up to me like,
nope.
You're the first black person I've ever met.
Nope, that's weird.
Weird. And so I just couldn't do it. And I think of all the schools that I went to visit, Ohio Wesleyan like felt the most like natural and I felt like comfortable there. Mm-hmm. And then it didn't hurt that they gave me some money to go. So
So
I went all 4 years. I played mm-hmm. I played the first 2 years. And then I have plantar fasciitis really bad and mm-hmm. I had to quit my junior year. And my coach is actually the one that got me into group fitness because she had her own boot camp at the time. She's like, Hoop, mm-hmm. I think you could totally do it. I think you'd be great at it. It'd be something for you to do since you can't play anymore. And that's the first time I ever did it. And I was like, oh, this is it. I love this. Mm-hmm. This is so much fun. And till this day, like I text her on Mother's Day because I call her she reminds me of what's the movie? Sandra Bullock.
Blindside.
Yeah, she reminds me of Blindside because I used to always go mm-hmm. to her house for like Christmas and Thanksgiving and all these holidays. So I call her mm-hmm. my mom till this day. I text her on her birthday. Mm-hmm. I text her on Mother's Day. And I'm always like, I don't think she understands how much she impacted me as like a coach. Even the way that I coach is like a lot of what I learned from her in the 4 years that I was at Ohio Wesleyan. So, So
it's like you finished your degree at Ohio Wesleyan and then you came back to the Bay for a bit, right? And mm-hmm. didn't you do so like a radio stint? You worked at the Warriors for a while and then you're like, yeah, like I probably need to do like grad school and like maybe kind of double down a little more on like some of the business stuff. So you're like, okay. So then you get into Georgetown, which likely accepts what, like 0.2% of people that apply there? Like I know that's hell of competitive.
Honestly, Sarah, I'll be honest. I didn't realize how good of a school Georgetown was.
It's like a really good school.
And when I tell people that, they're like, what? I think because, you know, like growing up, I feel like a lot of people are like, oh, I want to go to Cal or I want to go mm-hmm. to, like they already have this like idea of where they want to go and a lot of people of what they want to do. I was never that kid. I had no clue what I wanted to do. And I really, honest to God, I was like, I'll be okay if I don't go to school. Like that just mm-hmm. was not me as a kid. So when I went to undergrad, I went because I was like, okay, well, I've got this scholarship. I'm going to play basketball. Like, I can do this. And so when I decided to go to grad school, I was like, I don't know where I want to go. I don't know, you know, what good schools are. I don't really know what I want to do. And I knew that Georgetown had a really good program and University of San Francisco had a good program. Mm-hmm. So those were the only two schools I applied to. And I was like, you know, if I don't get in, whatever, but at least I'll try and I'll see what happens. And you know, because I just wasn't happy being at home. I've always I've always been that person that if I want to do something, I'm going to do it. Whether it works or not, I'm going to try. So I was like, I'll just try, whatever. And so I got into both. And everybody's like, oh, which one are you going to go to? Like, are you going to stay at home because it'll be cheaper? You know, mm-hmm. it makes more sense. So, of course, naturally being
No, that's not the choice you made. Yeah.
I'm like, no, I'm going all the way to D.C. I've never been to D.C. in my life. Yeah. I've never been to D.C. I've never seen the campus. Nothing. I was like, it's fine. I'm going to go. And I went, I think like 2 months later, I went because I applied like for spring. So I got there. I got a random roommate. It turned out to be crazy, but whatever. Mm-hmm. I went. Yeah. And I worked like the whole time I was in school, I worked two jobs. I didn't have a car. So I was on the mm-hmm. bus and the metro. It took me mm-hmm. an hour and a half to work every day. And then I had to. It was like, when I say it out loud, I'm like, I was on the bus, I was on the metro, mm-hmm. then I had to walk a mile to work. But like, really, that's what I did every day for a year and a half until I graduated. And I remember the last semester, I told my best friend at the time, I was like, I can't do this. Like, I started crying. I was like, I can't do it anymore. Like, I can't take it. But I did it. Sometimes I honestly don't know how, but I did it.
I know, isn't it interesting, like, A, when you're younger that you don't realize all the things that are so exhausting to us now, and B, you know, but that's what, like, if you're motivated to do something. I mean, I did the same thing. I went to graduate school in San Francisco, and I worked full time, and, you know, because I'm like, okay, I live in San Francisco. No one's paying my bills. Like, I can't, like, take off time and go to grad school. I also don't want to be, like, saddled with student loan debt for, like, the rest of my life. And so you just make it work, and now I look back on that, and I'm like, what was I thinking? Like, class until 10 p.m. at night, weekend classes, my job, I was traveling like all over like the Bay Area, like not sleeping. And like, I got it done and I graduated like into a year and a half with my master's with a 4.0. And I was 4.0. like, okay, yeah, what? okay. But Washington, D.C. is where like you started doing a lot of group fitness and you initially were in like the Orange Theory atmosphere. And so-
Yeah.
I mean,
I can say that. I was there a long time. I can say that. It's fine.
And so you really, you know, like you had the opportunity. And also, I think you were telling me, isn't there one of the instructors or owners out there like is really well known within like the entire corporation as like this like powerhouse?
Yeah.
So how did that really kind of like cement your interest in like group fitness, you know, studios? Like, why do you think, because people really are obsessed with Orange Theory. Why do you think that is?
I think, well, I'll start by why I think people are obsessed with Orange Theory. We'll start with that. I think because one, it's like, it's universal, right? Like I used to have people in class, I would have someone who's like 8 months pregnant and then I could have somebody who's, you know, 300 pounds plus, but everybody can do the workout and they all do it at their own fitness level. And that's like the best part about it. It's not intimidating where I feel like a lot of, especially like boutique fitness can be very intimidating. Like the graphics and the marketing and the way that they, you know, and I think for Orange Theory, it's like everybody knows, maybe you're not at the same level as the person next to you, but you could still go, you're 100% and you're 100% doesn't have to be the person next to you. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think also a lot of the like movements and things that we do in, or we did in Orange Theory classes, you don't have to be an athlete. You don't have to be somebody that works out every day to learn them and to understand them. And then to also, you know, see a difference in your body after doing it for a while. Mm-hmm. And that was like, honestly, that was my first. I used to do Barry's a little bit when I lived back at home. But when I moved to D.C., I was working full time for the Redskins. And then I was working part time at Crunch, like at the front desk. Mm-hmm. And I had been looking for something like Barry's because I missed that like style of training. And I saw that Orange Theory was like popping up and I had never heard of it. So I Googled it and I was like, oh, this is, you know, probably similar. And there wasn't any in DC at the time. So the woman that hired me and the guy that hired me are like known at any Orange Theory. If I said Reggie Williams, they know him. I could call DC, they know him. California, they know him. Florida, they know him. He's like the master trainer. And so he was opening one in DC and they needed front desk people. And I knew I couldn't afford the gym. So I was like, the hustler I am. Like, oh, yeah. I'm going to work at the front desk. So I started, we opened that first studio with like, I think 500 members or something crazy. And we were like cold calling people in an empty it was like an empty building. There was no chairs. We're like sitting on the floor calling people, no equipment. I'm basically like selling you dust because there's nothing for you to even look at, right? So I did that, and I worked the front desk for like a year while I was still in school, and I took class. I took class every day. I was like, I'm already here. I'm just going to hop in class. And again, I've always been an athlete, but I think like for me, I didn't look like a coach. At least in my mind, I'm like, if I try to coach, nobody's going to listen to me. Like I don't have that aesthetic that like most coaches have, like, cause she was heftier in my basketball days. Right. And so people always told me like, you should coach, like you'd be so good. You have a great personality. Like you love music. You're great with music. And I kind of just was like, no, I don't think so. And then I don't know what happened. I think I lost some weight. I was like, okay, maybe I could do this. I got a little confidence or whatever. And Reggie, the guy that hired me was like, Hoop, I'll train you. He's like, you don't even need to go to the training. I'll work with you. Like we can do this, whatever. And so for probably a month every day when I would come to work, we would practice on the microphone and I would practice like they would let me just take their classes. Like one of my best friends was a coach. She's like, just try my class. Just try to teach him. Okay. And they were hard on me though. Like I remember the first time I got on the mic and I, you know, I'm trying to give you the spiel and I'm trying to explain stuff to you. My friend looked at me and she goes, I will never forget it to this day. She goes, what happened? She's like, where did your personality go? I was like, what do you mean? She goes, I don't know who that is. She's like, you need to turn that microphone off and try it again. And to this day, like I literally talked to her the other day and I'm like, I'll never forget that. Cause after that, I was like, okay, you have to be yourself. Right. Cause at the end of the day, like all these group classes are the same. We're all doing the same thing, you know,
but the differentiator is you, right? And it's like your personality and the energy you bring. And so you have to like show up as yourself. And like, that's what grabs people.
100%. And I swear to God, I'll probably text her after this and be like, I told that story again. Cause after that, I was like, oh no, I got it. Nobody's ever told me. They've told me a lot of things about myself, but not having a personality has never been a thing somebody said to me. So I never again. And then I had it easy because I worked the front desk for so long. Like I worked the desk Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. to 12 a.m. for like a year. And so all the members already knew me and they like liked me. So when I made the transition to coach, I had it easier than like new people. Cause you know, when new people come, they're like, who is this?
Who are you? Where's my other instructor? I don't like you.
I don't trust
you. They're like, oh, what's up? They're like, hey, you're moving on up from the front desk to the gym. Yeah. The studio.
Mm-hmm. And so I had like and I think that also boosted my confidence. Like, okay, these people trust me. These are going to be my first people. So it's okay. And I had the shittiest times. I had like 7 p.m., 8 p.m. on a Thursday night. Like the worst, nobody as an instructor, literally nobody's gave going me that to, now. Yeah. I'm like, no, thank you. Pass. No. I don't want it. But those are my first classes ever. And I remember I started like selling them out and they started getting like big. And I was so excited because like I'd never done it before. Like I was so juiced about it. So I went from that like one day a week to I think within the first couple of months, I started teaching like 15 classes a week. Mm-hmm. And I just fell in love with it. I'm like, you know, I also had another full-time job. I still was doing 15 classes a week because it just, for me, it wasn't like work. You know what I mean? Like, it was fun. I enjoyed it. It's like, I liked pushing people the way that I've always been pushed as an athlete and then like seeing people enjoy it. And then you've taken my class. I'm just stupid. I like to dance. I like to, you know what I mean? I like to make it enjoyable because I think if you enjoy the workout, it's a whole different experience. So yeah, I started coaching my third class ever. I had Aaron Andrews in it. And
oh, really?
I was so nervous. I was like, oh God, nobody told me. They didn't tell me. And then she came in late and I was like, oh man. And I didn't say anything. Nobody knew. It was only like my second or third class. And afterwards she was like talking to me and I told her, she's like, oh my God, that was amazing. And I think after that, I was like, oh, it boosted my confidence after that. I was like, I can't do anything wrong now.
You're like, so if this sports anchor is cool with me, like I'm probably going to be okay. Yeah.
Come on. Yeah, and then I was there for as a coach 2 years. I taught almost 2,000 classes when I was there. So it just I loved every second of it.
But then it was your time. But then you're like, I'm gonna go back to the Bay. You're like, I'm gonna. But why?
My dad,
Spencer.
My dad,
Spencer.
It's wild, Spencer. It's Spencer Anthony Hooper. We'll give him his whole. His moment. Mm-hmm.
The biggest hater on the face of the planet. Hater. such
and
a
on
hater.
His own child. Like you, right? Half of me is you. Literally, mm-hmm. I am my mom and my dad straight down the center.
Yep.
Like I couldn't be 50-50 more. But again, we've like my dad's always been in my life, and you know, mm-hmm. when I was younger, we were really, really close, and then there was a period in high school. He always says that it was me and my mom because, you know, I was a teenager and my mom was going through menopause. That's what he says to this day. I'm like, whatever, whatever, dude. But like, we didn't talk for probably like 2 years. And then we like kind of came back when I went away to school, but we've never been like, I don't call my dad like, hey dad, what's up? Like, what's going on? We're not like that.
Yeah.
You know, and I think he realized that I was getting into the fitness thing. And my mm-hmm. mom even told me that, I guess they had a conversation and my dad was like, you know, Alex, this seems like something Alex really loves and really enjoys. Yeah. Like I want to help her. But I never knew that. My mom told me that recently. So he called me one day, and again, my dad lives in California, and he's like, hey, you know, I was wondering, what do you think about like gyms?
And you're like, can you be more specific? Like, what does that even mean? Yeah.
The most vague statement. I'm like, well, I mean, you like a gym. I like a gym. Like,
yeah.
You know? And so I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, you know, if someone were to maybe purchase one, or what do you think about that? And so I kind of like went over with him because I have been in it for at this point, mm-hmm. like 5 years. And I'm like, well, you know, Orange Theory is like kind of the monopoly right now. It's doing really great, but there's a lot of them. Mm-hmm. At the time, F45 was really new. And my right. best friend and another friend of mine worked at one, and my other friend owned it. And so I'd been going there and I was like, it's a really good concept. It's a lot newer. I think you can, I don't want to say get a lot away with more, but like, it's not as strict, right?
Yeah.
Because it's new and they're still developing. So you get more leeway. And from like a programming standpoint, it's something most people have never done before, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, you should, if you know someone, thinking again, he's not talking mm-hmm. about me or us. I'm like, yeah. So if you know someone, you should have them check it out and see what they think. He's like, okay. So again, not saying anything to me, he goes and he takes mm-hmm. class, a couple classes, and then he calls me back a couple, like a week or two later. He's like, yeah, so I was thinking, you know, I went to F45. I go, oh, like, what did you think? He goes, yeah, I think it's pretty cool. Do you think, you know, if we got one, you would wanna own it and run it? And
you're like, what?
So I think I dropped the phone. I was like, wait, what? He's like, you know, I'm just thinking out loud, and, you know, I'm thinking about investing in something, and you seem to really have a good, you know, idea about it and a good head for it. And, you know, you really enjoy it. So it might be something to think about. And I got off the phone and I went in my room with my roommate at the time. And I told her, and she was like, what? I was like, yeah, I don't know if he's serious. Cause like my dad is very, if he says something, he's going to do it. So when he came mm-hmm. to me, I'm like, no, he's gotta be serious. But yeah. You know, I haven't seen him in months. We haven't talked about this ever in life. Like, we've never talked about going into business together or anything like that. I came home, we went to class together. Mm-hmm. We talked to, like, you know, I talked to other owners, I talked to other trainers and what they thought. And then from there, it kind of just took off. We initially we were going to do it in Texas, mm-hmm. Because, you know, you get more for your money. You get more right. for your money in Texas. Yeah.
We're like, don't even get us started on Bay Area pricing of everything. Like, that's a whole 97-hour conversation for another time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, I've never been to Texas, you know, so we go and check it out, and I couldn't do it. I got there.
Because you guys went to Houston, right?
Houston, yeah.
You're like, it's very sticky here. It's very sticky.
It's sticky. It's hot. It's everything is so spread out. I couldn't, for mm-hmm. me, I'm a Bay Area kid, like born and raised. I'm from the Bay. So I'm used to like diversity, and I'm used to like a bunch of different types of people. Mm-hmm. And that's the best part about like a community building, right? Is that you have a bunch of different type of people and you bring them all together. In Houston, I just couldn't see it. I was like, mm-hmm. I don't know where I would live. I don't know where the gym would be. It just, and I told him, I straight up said, I said, listen, if we're going to do this, we can't do it here. I was like, I won't be happy. And if I'm not happy, this place isn't going to run well. Cause I'm the one that has to do the day to day everything. And, and if I don't feel comfortable in the space, it's not going to work. And so he was like, okay, well, you know, then where are we going to do it? And I pause and I'm like, I've been in DC for 5 years. People know me as a fitness person in DC, but, there was 10 F45s coming already. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, so that's not going to be it. And I looked at him and I said, we got to do it at home. Yeah. Like that's the only other place we could do it. My family is here. My friends are here. Mm-hmm. Any type of support, because like doing anything, I mean, you know, doing any type of business at all, you need support. You need people who are going to, you know, come. They're going to hype you up. They're going to be your cheerleaders. They're going to tell other people. And the only place I have that is here. So I moved home. I moved home within like, we had this conversation and I think 6 months later I moved home. And that was really hard for me. Like I don't cry. I cry like once a year. I cried for like 3 days leaving DC because I had like a whole, you know, I had like a whole life, but the members at Orange Theory threw me a party when I left. Like it was a whole, So that was really, really hard for me when I first moved home. And then it was, you know, navigating where do we do it? Because this is this is a different Oakland than when I lived here when I was 18. So
Well, but like, also let's talk like, because this is what I think sometimes people don't understand about like the Bay Area and especially not about Oakland. Cause like, I mean, I've lived in Oakland for, you know, like 20 years now almost. So what happens, especially with franchises, you know, like, you know, stores, whatever, is where they go is first San Francisco. And then Oakland is, again, just right across the Bay Bridge from San Francisco. So during COVID, you could literally get between Oakland and San Francisco in 9 minutes. Mm-hmm. In regular times, it's 37 hours.
that bridge just depending,
You know what I, it's just – but then what happens is that Oakland, you know, is this interesting place, right? Oakland and Long Beach, California are the most diverse cities in the entire United States. There's more cultures, races represented here. And like to your point, everyone just kind of like knows everybody else. Like everybody's mixed with something. It's just not – it's just like a real – like I think you've – I forget until I started like being in Arizona part-time, like how much, like I'm just so used to it and it's baked into who I am until I went down to some place that wasn't like that. And I was like, like,
why? That's how I was in Ohio. Like, ooh, people are separate.
Like it's weird. But then also what happened, like, so then what's been happening in Oakland. So Oakland has always been like the ugly stepchild of San Francisco. Oakland's where they're like, oh, that's where all the crime happens. And that's where the black people are is Oakland. And so Oakland is crime and black people. And it's like, what? No, like there's like a million other great things. And so like the secret's out, right? So over this last like 10 years, especially, you have lots more businesses coming here, commerce, people finally recognize San Francisco weather sucks. I had dinner in the city 3 nights ago. I was dying. It was just windy, 55 degrees. I was like, no, thank you. Oakland weather is like where it's at, right? It's fantastic. But often Oakland is overlooked in like building out like gym franchises or like the Nordstrom isn't going to go to Oakland where they go is Walnut Creek. And that is like a little east of us because there's more like money there. It just seems more like palatable. And so like for me as an Oakland resident, like I'm used to being, to not having access to things that you would find in typical cities of Oakland size. Oakland is like 500,000 people. Plus like the surrounding area in Alameda County is huge. Like you don't get stuff that then you could find like in San Francisco or on a creek. So often you have to make choices of like, am I going to drive like 25 or 30 minutes away? Because like stuff isn't here for us. Right.
Yeah.
And so for you guys, you know, and, but there's also like tons of all this, you know, like I said earlier, so much development going on. And in Oakland, what happens with all of these new, especially residential businesses in like the greater downtown area is there's a city ordinance that they put retail space in the bottom of every single one. Mm-hmm. And that's what you were able to get, right? Is this brand new development that had this retail space. How did you guys go about figuring it out and like negotiating on that? Because I think that's something a lot of business owners don't understand. Outside of your payroll costs, usually if you're paying rent on something, that's your second biggest bill. It's a big deal. And it's in a place like the Bay Area, prices are not cheap. So how did you, like, what was the process that you guys went through to kind of figure out, this is the place we want, the space we want to be in?
Honestly, initially, and I hate now looking back, I hate saying it because when we first decided to come back to the Bay, we're like, okay, we'll do Emeryville or Alameda. And for me, in my mind, because again, last time I was here, I was a kid, I was 18, right? And so I had come back a few times and, you know, there's an Orange Theory in Emeryville, there's an Orange Theory in Alameda, and they both do really well. I had also been, again, hustler, I had been subbing at Orange Theory just to kind of get a lay of the land. And so people would know me as a fitness person. So I figured the more studios I was going to, the better, you know, I could get my name out. So as I'm looking at all these different areas, I'm like, okay, we could do an F45 in Emeryville. We could do one in Alameda. So initially, we reserved those territories, right? So you reserve a territory, and then you decide which one you want to move forward with. So initially, it was Emeryville and Alameda, and mm-hmm. they just weren't receptive. It was, I think, again, because the cult, Orange Theory kind of mm-hmm. already had a monopoly on it, and they were doing very well. So it's like, don't bring another gym in here and mess that up. So we couldn't mm-hmm. find anything, right? And so, like you said, San Francisco, Walnut Creek, that's where people go. There's a gym. Yeah. There's F45 in Walnut Creek
yep.
and San Francisco.
Yep.
So I'm like, I told my dad, I'm like, let's just do it in Oakland. Period. I was like, we don't, because then I started thinking about it. I was like, we don't have anything here. We don't have any boutique fitness gyms. We have, you know, like, even, well, yeah, 24-hour, but like, that's a big box gym. We don't have anything specific. And I was like, we could really do something big with it. And then once I realized that, I was like, okay, yeah, it's Oakland. And it just makes sense. Like, everywhere I've lived, I never, ever, if you can ask anybody, if they ask me where I'm from, I don't say the Bay. I say Oakland, like end all be all. So we were like, okay, we'll look at Oakland. So then we started looking at different areas, and Telegraph, for me, when I think of Telegraph, I think of First Fridays, and I think of events. You know, so for those who don't know, First Fridays, every first Friday of the month, the whole block of Telegraph where the gym is located, it's like food and dance and music, and everybody's outside. And I was like, if we could be on this street and be a part of that, like, that would be so dope. That'd be so amazing. Yeah. And so, surely enough, right on the corner, they had the retail space there. And honestly, we got extremely lucky. I think when we were looking for spaces, nobody was looking for spaces. So we had a lot of people really willing to work with us.
Yeah.
The specific unit that we have, they did all of the renovations. So we end up getting like what they call a white vanilla box, meaning, you know, their contractors went in, they did the bathrooms, they did the walls, they did everything.
And that is like, in those kind of tenancy improvements, I mean, for some time, I mean, this can run six figures easily.
Yeah. Usually, and when we told, because we had to go to, you go to induction when you open an F45, and it's like all these other F45s from different areas. And I remember telling them that that's what we got. And they were like, what? And in a major city, like in in Oakland, in California. And I'm talking, you know, the guy from New York who's paying like God knows what to get it renovated on top of his rent, which was like, I think it was like 15, 17. And the guy who negotiated for us, actually, he has done a lot of F45s in the area. So like he was really pushing for us. And our developer, actually, my dad calls him my boyfriend, because we have a very good relationship. Like, I'm just very straight up with him, like what I need, a very transparent about like what we need and when we need it. So we got extremely lucky with the space. I couldn't. And then on top of that, I don't know if you know this, but so after they did, you know, the showers and the bathrooms and all that stuff, we still are responsible for architect to develop the space and to do the flooring and to do all of that. And that can run you another, you know, 20, 30 grand, whatever. Yep,
easily.
My best friend since I was five, like the first play date I ever went to his house, he did all of that for me. He drew the specs, and he had to draw them. I feel so bad for him. He had to draw them so many times because, you know, it's very specific of where everything needs to be laid out. But he did all of the drawings. He laid all of the floor, all the tile at F45. Didn't charge me a cent. So like,
you're kidding me.
No. And to this day, I'm like, whatever you want. Like, what do you need from me? Like, anything
really, you like, need. Free lifetime membership. This extends to everyone in your family. Yeah.
He's getting married, him and his fiance. I was like, you guys come whatever you want. Like,
do you want to have the wedding at the gym? Because you can.
Look, I'm marrying my other friends. I can marry you guys too. I do it all. Sure. Whatever you need from me. But so I got, I mean, we really were set up for like, well, pre-COVID, we were set up for success in ways that I know a lot of other studios weren't. Like, we were really fortunate in that. Because the rent alone and the construction alone, it's insane. Then you have franchise fees. You also have equipment. I mean, the equipment alone is $100,000. You know what I'm saying? So there's all these little things that like add up that for me, I've never owned anything before. So like, I didn't know. My dad has owned like properties and things, but not a franchise. So it's also a learning process. Like every day, every day I find something else out. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and but we haven't gotten even to the best part of the story. So picture it, you know, like you guys are doing this, you get like the deal of the century, everything is awesome. And then COVID happens. And so you're just like, you've got to be kidding me. Because when was your space officially built out? When were you guys done with the build out?
So that also got pushed back. So we I messed up all the dates too. So we got the space January
2020.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And they started construction in February, which means they stopped construction in March.
In March.
So it was like, and you know what is crazy? The whole time we were looking for this space, I was so mad. I was like, this is taking too long. I've been here for so long. Like, we should have already had it. And then when COVID hit, I'm like, oh, no. Take longer. We don't have a space. Like, you know, it was so, yeah, it's crazy. So, like, we waited all this time. We got this space. A month into it, they have to stop construction. And then they stopped construction all the way through, like, end of May.
Okay.
Middle of May. And then they started back up. They were scheduled to be done in August. So for us, we were like, okay, great. Like, we'll start. We'll get everybody in. So we end up having to do – this is when we started doing a Goji Time parking lot workout. Right,
because you're like, I have to start getting people in excited because we have to start generating revenue. And you knew this model already. You're like, we have to get the membership and people start signing in before we open.
Yeah, and on top of that, mind you, when you get the franchise, like as soon as you reserve something, they put you up online. So it's like Oakland's coming. And this has been 2 years now. And they're like, huh? Like, you're still coming? You're not here yet?
And that's how I found you. I found you. I searched on Facebook and Googled, and then I messaged you on Facebook. I was like, is this a thing? I know F45. I've been waiting for this. Where are you? And you're like, we're in the Goji Time parking lot. I was like, bitch, I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah. So I'm like, I told my dad, I was like, listen, we got to do something. Cause I was like, after a while, people don't care anymore. It's like, you know, it's like that shiny new thing. When that thing gets old, it gets dull. We don't want it. So we have to do something. So then, yeah, I went and got the Rolly speaker. I went and got a portable microphone. Mm-hmm. We were going to do it. Goji Time was actually great. I initially was like, listen, we don't have any money. So, like, can we use this parking lot? What can we work out? We're going to be right next door. Initially, one of the owners was like, no, you need to pay, blah, 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 blah. Okay, fine. The other guy, he's, like, younger. I think he's, like, my age. And that was his dad, of course. He's like, it's fine. Don't worry. You can use it. So
they're like, we don't have any customers there at 6 a.m. because we're not open.
Exactly. And they let us use their storage. So we were there from August until
November.
And you know.
Yeah.
Because I was like, yes, we have an opening date. They're going to let us go back inside. So we had a whole thing. We had a soft open scheduled and a grand open scheduled.
Yeah. So the hardcore people, we were in the soft open.
Yeah. And we were there for a good 2 weeks.
We can't make this up. Like, this is exactly what happened. We're all in there for 2 weeks. Everyone literally, we were like crying tears of joy just to be in the gym because gyms in California had been closed at that point for 7 months. Yeah. 7 months. And so there's this whole grand opening that's planned on a Saturday. It's planned on a Saturday. And on the Tuesday. Day before, or was it Tuesday?
Was that? I got the news because I had heard that it might happen and I was like, okay, well, if it happens, it happens. We'll figure it out when we get there. And I remember Lau, one of our coaches at the time, called me and goes, did you see? And I go, no, did I see what? And they're like, Gavin announced we have to shut down. And when she said Gavin shut us down, I shut down. I said, okay, I have to go. And I was at my friend's house, my best friend's house. I just started crying. And again, I don't cry. Like, even my friend was like, I don't know what to do. Like, because we had just worked so hard to go from the parking lot to get inside, to get everybody excited. I'd even gotten the membership base where I wanted it to be. Like,
100 members. Your goal is 100 members. Yeah. And you got that. Yeah.
By myself, no marketing help, like just me. I was like,
nothing.
I'm hyping myself. I'm like, Hoop, you did that. And they're like, okay. And then I sent the emails. Okay, guys, we're going to go tomorrow. And then that's it. And, for me, and I remember telling my friend, like, as a person, I'm one of those people where, like, when I'm done, don't talk to me. Don't look at me. Don't blink at me. I need to be left alone, right? Like, it's over. But me, Alex, like, as a business person, I can't just be like, okay, bye. The gym is closed. We're not talking anymore. Like, so I had to kind of I had to figure out how to like, okay, Alex, I know you're upset. I know this is like really challenging and like not how you want it to be, but you gotta, you have to turn it on. And, you know, and I say that all the time, like in class, like I turn that on when I come out home. Sometimes I don't even speak, but like, so I had to, you know, I took like a day or two and then I was like, okay, what are we going to do next?
Yeah.
So then again, you know, we went to Zoom.
To Zoom. To Zoom. I mean, and this is like, and it's so funny. Because I feel like I can have a little more perspective at the time. I think I even shed tears when I heard that the gyms were going to, you know, be closed down again, because this is something like for me, like the physical, like the community, the physical exercise, everything is like, it's like soul nurturing, it's body nurturing. Yeah. And for me, it's been like the mental health piece. Like there's been everything taken away from us, but at least like, can we work out, you know, can we move, you know, and that can kind of, and especially I'm someone that works out really early in the morning. This like sets me up for the rest of my day. Yeah. And so, and I had like already been at home in like the home gym. And I was like, I hate all of this. Like, I hate everything. My fitness is, you know, I've been working on this for so long. I just feel like this is just constant loss for everybody.
Yeah.
But even like on Zoom, you know, it's like you managed to like make it fun. And I showed up for every class, but you also recognize pretty quickly, you're like, this isn't sustainable. Cause you're like, okay, like I have to look at the bigger picture here. We're going to be open at some point. You know, there are a tremendous amount of costs and fees associated with this. We have to keep this hype. And like you were saying earlier, it can't be like, oh, F45 is coming to Oakland and it's been this like weird 2-year process. Like, how do we get this momentum? And so once again, you were able to hustle. And really, I mean, I might have to call this episode, you know, hustling hoop or hoop hustling, or I don't know. I'm going to have to think about that for a minute. But like, I think that this is the constant theme here is like, you were like, I will not be deterred by anything in terms of where I'm, you know, have set this goal, which is like, we're going to get this damn gym open and we're going to get people excited. So you were able to procure space in Jack London Square, which is like 10 minutes from where the gym is located, but there was an awning, because also the issue we're dealing with is in Northern California in like December and January and February, that's when we get rain. So it's cold. So you're like, I have to have, and I remember you sending me pictures, because also sidebar, I was going to your house to get personal training on the deck, you, me and Tiffany. Cause I was like, Alex, I can't do this. You're like, girl, come on over. Yeah. Shout out to Tiffany. And so you procured this space and it actually ended up being awesome. And then what you did on top of that is you're like, let's make this as fun as possible. And then you brought in DJ Nikki on Saturdays. So we had outside class with Nikki DJing and equipment. And all of a sudden, these classes started selling out. Like people were like driving to like this weird like warehouse. This isn't like the middle of Jacqueline. And this is like kind of where like all like the shipping crates and like trucks are. And with your rollaway speaker. We should like just mount that in the gym now and just like maybe like bronze it or something. We should like, we need to have like a funeral for it or like a celebration. And you were just like, this is where we're at.
I have to hold on to it just in case. Cause I get nervous. I still have the turf. Oh, I get nervous.
And so, but we, you know, and like you had the equipment, I mean, and we just, and that's what we did. And so everyone started coming. I came every class. If I was in town, I was coming to class. If it was raining, I was still coming to class. Sometimes I would literally have to have like, 2 hats. You know, like it was cold. Parka. Like there was some, oh my God, like some mornings, like straight up. I remember taking class with Lau and she's like, I think it's 37 degrees. I'm like, I don't want to even talk about it, Lau. Like, whatever. And so like you did what you needed to do. And then like, obviously now like we're recording this, it's, you know, it's May of 2021 and gyms are open in California. You know, we're inside, like capacity restrictions are slowly started to be, you know, be lifting. But I think what you've been able to see through this process is because you held it down, because you had this energy, and also because then, you know, you've been like critical, thoughtful, and like be willing to hustle, like everyone's like coming back. And a lot of gyms are even having a hard time. Like I go to this other gym in downtown Oakland, like the city gym, just like the, I do it on Fridays because we don't have class yet. And that place is huge. They did a $5 million renovation during COVID. Literally this morning I was there at 6 a.m. There were 10 of us. And this place is, wild. I think like 15,000, 20,000 square feet. But in your classes, like especially the afternoon classes, because people still are lazy in COVID, they don't like to get up in the morning. Like, you know, we have like our crew, but like they're packed.
Yeah.
To the extent that like in terms of like, you know, like in accordance with regulations, like and people, like Let's be clear.
We're following regulations.
We're COVID compliant. We're all COVID compliant. Alex knows, like I hate wearing my mask when I work out every morning. I'm so pissed off about it, but I'm still doing it. But you know, but this is a testament to you, like never gave up And literally there was every reason, more like 5,000 reasons over this last year and a half that you could have. And it would just been like, oh my God, this is too hard. This is too much. But you just didn't. And I think that that also, like, having that kind of grit and resilience and the ability to be nimble and flexible, but also what's happened during this process. And as you've been talking about this, it really makes me think part of the reason you didn't give up is because also because you give so much to others, not dissimilar to your mother, people want to give back to you.
Yeah.
They want to give back to you. Your friends are there. They're going to help you with the flooring. You have other people that are willing to go out of their way because they're like, you are the kind of person that people feel connected to, and you're authentic and you're real. And then you kick their ass when they're in the gym and then they're mad at you, but then they get over it. But it's like, but what you put out into the world, it's one of those things. It's like, treat other people like you want to be treated, and then they're coming back and having your back. And so like, everyone's like, oh, I'm coming. And now, you know, again, like it's getting, you know, you haven't had to do that much marketing and people are like flooding, you know, because like, this is what you have like manifested and willed into existence.
And also, honestly, for me, it's like, and I think now, cause I don't talk about it that much. Cause I'm always just like, we got to do this. And even when we talked the other day and you're like, we should, you know, work on that. I'm like, yeah. But I'm so like, I think for me, there's no not winning. You know what I mean? Like there's no, cause at the end of the day, it's just me and my dad. Like we don't have investors. There's a, like, it's not like if I messed this up, like, sorry guy, I tried, better luck next time. Like, if this doesn't do well, that's on me. And then, you know what I mean? So I think for me, that's always been like my thing. Like this has to work. And it's also like, I love when people are like, I can't believe you did it anyway. I didn't have a choice. No, like I'd be like, sorry, COVID, you got me, girl. I'm out. Like I literally have no choice but to make it work. And I think, you know, I've been lucky in the fact that like my parents are hustlers. Like my dad left Mississippi when he was like 16. You know what I mean? And he was in the Navy. He's had all these like different, he worked in telecommunications, whatever. Mm-hmm. And like, I have two hustler parents. So I had like no choice but to be this way. And I'm also very, when this was happening to all the other studios and all the other gyms, they weren't doing anything either. You know, like the bigger places, they weren't doing outdoor stuff. And
no.
I remember talking to my friend and I was like, no, I need to figure it out. Like I have to do something. She's like, Alex, relax. She's like, people have been doing this for years, haven't been able to do what you've done in a year. And I think sometimes I have to like step back and be like, oh yeah, you know, like people are right. And like, I'm one of those people who are like, I will do anything for any of my friends, my family. If you need me to do something, I'm going to do it. And I think this year or this past year with the gym has shown me that like, I have a lot of those people for me as well. Like, not that I didn't know that, but it has been like very clear. Like my friends,
they showed up.
I mean, they helped move half the equipment in there. It was me, KG, and Alyssa, my two best friends since ninth grade. They helped me move all that equipment in there. They stay after class. They help me clean. They help, you know what I mean? So it's like, I have all these people who are supporting me and like really want me to win that I'm like, oh no, we've got to make this work. And it's been really cool, especially now that we've been inside for what, a month, to see it from like the first day to, you know, like yesterday, like every class, every afternoon class this past week has been full. And every time I look, I'm like, huh? Like, you know, it's kind of unbelievable because I just know how long it's taken to get to that point. And obviously, like, we're not anywhere near where we need to be, but it's nice to see that, like, it can get there. And even my dad, because my dad is very, you know, he frowns all the time. He doesn't really talk.
He really does. Every time I see him, I'm like, Spencer, and he's like, honestly, like not even though, hello.
I have that too, though. It's like I just can turn mine off. He can't turn his off. But even him the other day, he was like, yeah. And he doesn't say stuff like nice often. He's like, you're doing a good job. he's like, you know, you're really doing some great work in here. He said, so keep it up. I'm like, thanks, Dad. Like, you know, that was his way of like, okay, you're doing what you need to be doing. So yeah, I mean, it's definitely really cool to see. And like, and you've been to other F45, so you know, I like to say ours hits a little different. Our community is different. It's the age ranges are different. The ethnicities are different. The like gender identity, like everything is different. Yep. And I think that's the best part. Every time I walk in, I'm like, yeah, this is not like the other ones. And so it's very exciting to see that too. Cause I've, you know, I've been a manager at a gym. I've worked the front desk. I've been a coach. Mm-hmm. I've done every single role that you can do at a gym. So for me to have my own and like see all that come together is pretty, it's pretty dope.
Yeah. I mean, basically your gym is like the most Oakland place ever because, you know, if you come in, it's going to be all different types of people, like you said, of all different walks of life, genders, identities, whatever. But everyone is really enjoying themselves because likely there will be E40, Too Short, or Meg Thee Stallion playing on the stereo. And also if you come on a Saturday, like tomorrow, for example, I think you're having a battle between the West Coast and the South to represent your parents.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you're going to get a good workout. You're going to listen to some dope beats. And that's the house that you build, Alex. That's you.
You made me feel good about myself today. Thanks, Sarah. I got to come talk to you more often.
You should feel good about yourself every day. Well, every day.
Like, think about it. Like, you know, you just do stuff. And then after you're like, oh, like that's pretty cool. Like, you know what I mean? You just go.
Right.
I think it's like.
No, you just get so obsessed. It's like you get so focused on every, right. It's, I think just having, and this is what I was honestly, this is part of the reason I wanted you to come on this because I wanted you to have the opportunity to reflect like, holy shit. Like, not only like did we survive this, but like we thrived through it. And like, honestly, by being there for others and like having their back, you know, whether that's a community place to work out or, you know, just being someone to talk to or hype people up, then it's just paying in dividends, right? It's just paying in dividends.
Yeah.
So.
Look at that.
Thank you so much for listening to the Defy podcast. We hope that you enjoyed listening to this as much as we enjoyed making it. You can listen to this podcast on all of the podcast platforms. We would love your feedback. Please tell us what you think. We also invite you to follow us on all of our social platforms. We're on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. We're even on TikTok. And if you ever have an idea of something that you'd like us to talk about in a podcast or just want to shoot us a note, please feel free to email us. You can email me, Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, at defy.community. And guess what? I promise that I'll respond. So I hope you have a great rest of your day and get out there and go defy, baby.